Let's take our Bibles and look together in Matthew chapter 9. My text is going to be from verse 14 down to verse
17.
And I've entitled this message, New Wine Skins and Old Wine Skins. For some time now, we have been studying the parables, but with this message and moving forward now, we're going to be looking at some illustrations that our Lord Jesus Christ gave concerning his work in his kingdom. And that's why in verse 17, the Lord speaks of not taking new wine and putting them into old bottles, it says, that would be wineskins, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out. But why does the Lord Jesus Christ make this illustration? That's where we have to come back to verse 14. So let's read from verse 14 down to verse 17. I'll read a verse at a time and you can translate. But verse 14 says, Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?
Pomwepo anadza kwa iye wokuzira ache a Yohane nati chipwa ninji ipenda palisi chisara kuja kawiri kawiri kuma okuzira anu sasara.
Verse 15, And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast.
Ndipo pa verse 15 ikuona kuti ndipo Yesu anati kwa iwo nanga anyamata a nyumba ya ukwati angatekulira kodi nthawi imene mkwati akhala nawo koma adzafika masiku pamene mkwati adzachotsedwa kwa iwo ndipo pomwepo adzasala kudya.
And then the Lord begins this illustration in verse 16. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse.
Ndipo kulibe munthu akhatika chigamba cha nsalu yayiwisi pa chofunda chakale, pakuti chigamba chache chizomoka ku chofundacho ndipo chichita chibowo chachikulu.
And so the conclusion in verse 17, Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. So this instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ begins with a very good question, because it's the disciples of John asking it. We know John was the forerunner of Christ.
apa Yesu akuyamba ndi kuso limene akuphuza ophuzi amene anali a Yohane Mbatizi amene kuti Yohane Mbatizi ndamene anali oyamba kubwera Yesu lo asanafike.
So we can see here the question has two parts.
Apa tiona kuti kusololi limadera awiri.
Notice the first part says, why do we and the Pharisees fast often?
Koyamba tiona kuti kusololapo kunena kuti chikwaningi ife na Farisi tisakudya kawiri kawiri.
This might surprise us because we know that John the Baptist, who's referred to here, his disciples, had nothing to do with the Pharisees. But we have to remember that even though we're reading about John the Baptist in the New Testament, he was still considered to be an Old Testament prophet. The Old Testament, with its prescriptions and laws, was to be enforced all the way up until Christ had finished the work at the cross.
Yohaneyo ndi amene akuyamba kuonekera pamene Yesu Khristu akubwera kudzakomedwa. Yohaneyo akuonekera mu chipangano chakale pamene akukamba zachitsogolo chakubwera kwa Yesu Khristu.
And we know that the Old Testament prescribed different times of fasting, particularly on certain days when they were to be separated out unto the Lord and not do any work, but simply to humble themselves before the Lord on those particular days. So this is what John the Baptist was instructing his disciples, because they were to follow those prescriptions of the law until Christ had fulfilled it all. But certainly John would have taught his disciples to fast and to follow these particular days ordained in the Old Testament, looking to Christ, because in his ministry, that's what he preached, "Behold the Lamb of God."
Ndipo Yohaneyo amayenera kuphuzitsa ophuzirake zakusala kudya ndi chilamulo komanso kuyang'ananso zachitsogolo chakubwera kwa Mpulumutsi.
So even though John instructed his followers to fast when the Old Testament prescribed it, yet what a difference between what he was teaching his disciples and the reason that the Pharisees fasted.
Ingakhale kuti Yohane anakwanitsa kuwaphunzitsa ophunzirake monga chipangano chake chimanena zokhudzana ndi kusala kudya.
Koma adafunikanso aphunzitse kusiyana pakati pa kusala kudya kwa Afarisi ndi kwa aphunzira ake a Yohane.
So when these disciples of John came to our Lord, they were just looking on the outward. They were saying, "We fast and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not." The Lord was not instructing his disciples to fast. Now when in verse 14, they observed that they and the Pharisees fasted often, we know that the Pharisees had the practice of fasting at least twice a week.
Ndichipangapa verse 14 ndikunena kuti anadza kwa iye okuzira acha Yohane nati chifukwa ninji ifeti ife ndi afarisi tisala kudya kawiri kawiri.
This is what the Pharisee said in Luke chapter 18 and verse
12.
Remember in verse 11, as he stood and prayed within himself, he wasn't praying to God, but he still said in verse 11, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And then in verse 12, he says, I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all I possess. I.
Apa ndivamaitiona kuti pa verse number 11 aluka chapter 18 ndikunena kuti mfarisiyo anayiniya napemphera izi mwayekha mulungu ndikuyamika kuti sindili monga anthu onse ena opambapamba osalungama achigololo kapenanso monga wamsonkho uyu. Verse 4, ndisala chakudya kawiri sabata limodzi ndipereka limodzi la magawo khumi la zonse ndili nazo. Apa tiwona kuti nthawi zonse akungoyankhulapo zoti ine.
So even though John the Baptist instructed his followers to fast, it was for a different reason than the Pharisees.
Ndichipeka Yohane akuwawuza ophunzira ake zakusala kudya monga mmene afarisi amachitira.
Koma amawasiyanitsira kuti kusala kudya kwa iwo akuphunzira Yohane ndikosiyana kwa afarisi.
John the Baptist taught his followers to fast in humble repentance as they looked to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Pharisees had no repentance. They did it to be seen of men and to impress others of their own spirituality.
Komano ingakhale zvizinalipo iwo anali anthu oti samadziwa bwino zakulapa komanso kudzichepetsa pamaso pa Mulungu.
Ndipo afarisi amaphunzitsa zakutsitamangira ndi kusagonja pamaso pa Mulungu kuti alape koma kungodzionetsera kwa anthu kuti ndiye amachitachita pamaso pa Mulungu.
This is why in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 16 to 18 our Lord gave specific instruction against the way that the Pharisees would fast. John the Baptist taught his disciples to fast in humble repentance, but the Pharisees did it in order to appear as if they were spiritual before God.
Yohane amaphunzitsa ophunzira akewo zakusala kudya ndi kudzichepetsa ndi kudzionetsera kwa Yesu Khristu.
Zimene afarisi samadziyangana moteropo.
So verse 16 of Matthew 6, we read our Lord's instruction. He says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And when he says they have their reward, it means they have that for which they fast anyway, and that is to be seen of men, and that's all it is. So you can see it wasn't that the Lord was saying not to fast. He just did not instruct his disciples to fast as the Pharisees did.
Apa Yohane asadawaletse akuphunzira ake kusala kudya Kuma adakawaphunzitsa masabwe kuya osiyana ndi mmene afarisi amasalira kudya kuti pakhale zolinga ziwiri zosiyana kukusala kumodzi.
You see, the law was still in effect, and our Lord came to fulfill the law, but it's the spirit of the law that he instructed and taught his disciples why they were to fast.
So verse
17, he says, "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face." And verse 18 tells us why. In other words, when it says anoint thy head and wash thy face, go ahead and take your bath, shower, and don't appear unto men as if you are fasting. Anoint thine head. That means shampoo your hair and wash your face. Why, verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In other words, there may be times that we as God's children are so impressed by the Spirit of God to seek the Lord for our own need and that of others that we have no appetite. And so we set apart food and eating in order to consecrate that time to the Lord. That's what biblical fasting is. I once had a man ask me, "Do you fast?" And I told him, if I did, I wouldn't tell him. Because the Lord tells us not to appear unto men as if we're fasting. I don't make a promotion of it. And so, this is why the disciples of John asked this question in verse 14, coming back to my text in Matthew chapter 9, "But thy disciples fast not." We know there were times when our Lord Jesus Christ himself would set himself apart for prayer, and he would bring his disciples with him. But during those times when they did not eat, it was not apparent unto others. They were not openly fasting as the Pharisees were doing, to be seen of men. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. And so where the law prescribed days of rest and fasting, certainly he and his disciples would have followed those days in order to fulfill the law. But it would not have been open for people to see, but rather in secret. So now in verses 15 to 17, we see our Lord explaining why there was a difference between how he instructed his disciples and how the Pharisees were following their tradition. And what the Lord answers here is to tell us that things are different now that he has come. In saying that things are different now that he has come, it doesn't mean that he's setting aside the old, but rather he is introducing the new. And that's why he asked this question in verse 15. Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Our Lord Jesus Christ is describing his coming into this world as one coming for a marriage. He came to unite himself to that bride that the Father had given him and to pay the sin debt for that bride. But the Pharisees were hypocritical because they were saying, no, we need to fast. We can't identify this with this one who's come. We can't come to the wedding. Imagine you announcing a wedding to which you invite all of your friends to come, and it's a time of rejoicing, but then you have these religious people over here saying, no, we cannot come because we're busy about fasting and going about with a glum looking face. So here our Lord is answering both parts of the question that the disciples of John asked. First, he's saying it wasn't right for his own disciples to imitate the Pharisees in their hypocritical fasting. But he's also saying that it was not right for John's disciples in their ministry, even though they were doing it to humble themselves before the Lord, because here Christ had come and now was the time of rejoicing, not for fasting.
Komaso
They were to follow the Lord and rejoice in his coming, that he came to fulfill that law on their behalf and would lay down his life for them, and therefore this was to be a time of rejoicing, not sorrow. That's why it says, as long as the bridegroom is with them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn? But then he adds, here at the end of verse 15, that the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then shall they fast. He's speaking there of the time of his death, when he would be in the grave 3 days and three nights, and they would be separated from him and actually shut up in a room fearful. They would be fasting. There would be no hunger. There would be mourning over his death. But then when he rose again and appeared unto them, oh, the rejoicing that that brought to them. There was no more need for them to fast because the bridegroom was again with them. So here's the lesson between the old and the new. The fasting, as prescribed in the Old Testament and the law, was to be temporary. It wasn't to be a permanent instruction until Christ came and fulfilled it all. That's why Christ speaks of himself as coming as the bridegroom and the children of the bride chamber rejoicing. So when he gives this illustration now of not taking new wine and putting it into old wineskins, he's illustrating the new wine representing his work for which he came, and the old wineskins representing the law. What he's saying is that you cannot take the new wine concerning Christ and his shed blood and then somehow try to mix in the law with it so that you've got law and grace. That won't work. In fact, he illustrates it with two different examples. One of trying to sew up an old garment that when you've patched it up, now the tear becomes worse than when you began. And then the other illustration of putting new wine in old wineskins that would burst the old wineskins.
Chigamba
Christ says you take new wine and put it in the new wineskins. What are those new wineskins? Well, that's the gospel of grace, and that's the covenant of grace that Christ came to fulfill. It's his work that he would establish with his own blood on the cross. And because of Christ's work, instead of keeping a mandatory time of fasting as they did under the law, guess what? God's people now feast daily on Christ and his finished work. That's our bread. That's our water. It's Christ. What the Lord is saying, in contrast with the old covenant, is that now fasting has been turned into feasting. Feasting on Christ and his finished work. Mourning has turned into dancing, especially when the Spirit reveals in the heart of God's children the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross for them. Sorrow is turned into joy. Ashes is turned into beauty. And despair is turned into praise. Do you realize that we have many today that are like these Pharisees? They don't want us rejoicing in Christ and his finished work. They want to put us back under the law. They say, yes, you can have Christ and his death, but you still need to fulfill the law. They try to mix the law and grace. You can't do it. When Christ asked the question in verse 15, can the children of the bride chamber mourn so long as the bridegroom is with them? The answer is no. There's no mourning so long as the bridegroom is with his bride. Now the Lord did say in verse 15 there would be a time of mourning when the bridegroom was taken from them, and I explained that already as being that time when he would be separated from them in his death, but that wasn't permanent. I ask you, is the bridegroom with us now or not? The answer is yes. Christ told his disciples that when he would raise again and ascend on high, he would send his Spirit, that where he was, they might be with him.
yankhona kuti inde ali pakati pathu popeza dauzo kuzonena kuti pamene ine ndidzakwa kwakufa ndikunyama kupita kumwamba ndidzatumiza mzimu woyera amene adzakhale pakati panu.
This is why we're instructed to rejoice because of the work of Christ that he's accomplished. That's the new wine. And for his spirit, whereby Christ dwells with every one of those that he has redeemed. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 instructs us that we're to keep the feast instead of the fast.
Chapter number 5.
You see, it says there in 1 Corinthians 5, 8, therefore let us keep, it doesn't say the fast, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. That is not according to hypocrisy and the way the Pharisees were doing their fast, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Verse number 8, yawana kunde chapter 5, yunena kuti, chipaya yeti chita pando, si, nicho otukitsa chakare, kabena nicho otukitsa chadumbo, ndikuipa ntima, komandinkate wosatupa, wakuona ntima, nicho onadi.
How do we keep the feast? Well, Christ is the Passover lamb, so we partake of him. But not with old leaven. In other words, not mixing the law into this feast. But we celebrate it with, as it says there in verse 8 at the last part, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What's the unleavened bread? That's Christ. He's the Passover lamb, and he's the unleavened bread. And we feast upon him. That's how we're commanded in the gospel. So our Lord Jesus Christ is instructing his disciples here that the joy of his work that he came to accomplish, that new covenant grace, is what is to be our sustenance and not the old works of the law. When the Lord said you don't take and patch up an old garment, he's describing there that we cannot fix our disobedience to the law. Is torn already because of our disobedience. What we need is the new garment. What's the new garment? That's the righteousness that Christ came and earned and established, whereby God has justified forever his people. That's our new garment. Our Lord did not come to repair or to reform all of the old institutions of the law. No, he came to fulfill it. And that in his finished work now, we have that new garment. And also by comparison, the new wine in new wineskins. The new wineskin is his work that he accomplished by his blood. That's what he told his disciples at the Last Supper, that this blood of the New Testament, see, that's the new wineskin. He did not come to reform the old, but he came to establish the new, and the new is his church, for which he came and paid the sin debt. That's how the Apostle Paul describes it here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16. Ephesians 2:16. Here's the new wineskin. It says, and that he might reconcile both unto God, that is both Jew and Gentile, in one body, that is his church, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So our Lord, in this illustration of new wine and new wineskins, is reminding us that the old and stagnant cannot be renewed or reformed. That's why we stand against those that tell us, yes, Christ came and did his work, but we still need to go back and do our part in fulfilling the law. You can't take new wine and put it in old wineskins. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to establish the new on his work accomplished, not to patch up the old. This is what salvation is all about in the new work that the Lord Jesus Christ has come and accomplished. He didn't set aside the old, he fulfilled it, that now in him we have the joy of salvation. Someone gave the illustration one time of a seed that falls into the ground and dies, but out of it grows up a large tree. When that seed falls into the ground and dies, and out of it grows this large tree, the seed has fulfilled its purpose. It's gone. But now what remains is the tree. Our Lord Jesus Christ described his death as a seed being sown in the ground, that when it dies, then it produces its fruit. Christ in dying fulfilled the law. So it's done. It's gone. But the result is his church and that people that he came to save, of which he'll have every one. That's our rejoicing.
Christ Adafa, Unvira Lamuno, Udi Agua Nisenda Mojonse, Sot Santa Zagan, the Buga Wabufa, the Buga Gomeo Tabadua, Uruka Pondue, Luka Migira, Simenem Ida Chita Pabufan Saga.
What a very simple illustration that the Lord has given us here, and yet very profound. I pray the Lord will bless us in what we've studied and cause us to rejoice in Him and His finished work. I'll turn it back to you.
Many thanks to God because of this beautiful time, day that the Lord gave us. For sure it has been a very blessed time of hearing from the Lord.
Amen.